I put a notice in Inside St Paul's, but you may have missed it, with a big thank you, because during that time of my dad's dying and then also my priesting, I was just overwhelmed with messages of love and support and cards, and my house was like a florist shop, and I just felt so loved and cared for and supported by the community here. And I've only been here for a year, and to receive that love and support was just amazing, and it really blew me away. So thank you. It showed me such a caring side of St Paul's, which it's been difficult the past year, obviously not being all together. So it was quite remarkable. So thank you. So no denying the last couple of months have been a little bit stressful for me. So I have to confess to some relaxing with some box set TV drama. My weakness is old episodes of Downton Abbey, I'm afraid. But actually, thinking about tonight, that wasn't a bad choice. Because Jesus talks tonight about being a servant. But actually, if we look around in our culture, I don't know how many of you have servants, probably none of you. And a drama like that actually shows us what it used to be like for families that did have servants. And watching Downton Abbey, obviously I like to imagine I would have been one of the Earl's daughters with the lovely gowns and jewels. But in reality, I'm afraid most of us would have been downstairs. And making the fires, cooking the food, polishing shoes. And actually, the servants' lot there was so lowly, some of them wouldn't have even been allowed to speak to the family members, and they were meant to do things behind the scenes and be invisible and get up really early before the household got up to do their chores. In our gospel reading, though, Jesus points out that in the world, people show their greatness and power by lording it over others. And we see the same thing going on down in the servants' hall, where there's a very clear pecking order. And we have Thomas the footman, who really doesn't want to take orders from Carson the butler and wants to lord it over all the others and definitely stop anyone else progressing and overtaking him. And we have a similar thing with the ambitious mother here, who's pushing Jesus to say, honour my sons, promote my sons. But here, Jesus describes this upside-down approach to power and authority in the kingdom of God. It's radically different to what we see in the world. Spiritual authority and responsibility gets given to those who are humble of heart, who want to serve and honour others and lift others up rather than promoting themselves and pushing their way to the top. And we see this in Jesus' career path, if you like. He went lower and lower. Begins by feeding the hungry, healing the sick, touching the untouchable lepers, kneeling down to wash his disciples' feet, the job of the lowliest servants, and then finally surrendering to a humble death on a cross. And I just want to think a moment about the foot washing, because it's such a powerful symbol. I love the foot washing tradition of Maundy Thursday, where the vicar or priest washes the feet of some of the congregation members. And if you've never seen it happen, it's really moving seeing the priest showing that love and humility. And they have the same tradition in the Catholic Church, and the Pope will go and visit different centres and communities that are on the fringe of society, and he'll wash their feet. So it will be things like refugee centres, prisons, detention centres, to name a few. And, I know that might seem like a very cheesy PR stunt, which some people might think it is, but from the letters people have written to the Pope that have received this ministry, it turns out that it really impacted them and it made them feel that they weren't forgotten, that they were loved and accepted and not rejected and forgotten. And I saw recently that our Archbishop, Justin, spent the day with a homeless man who he'd struck up a friendship with when he was on study leave in Cambridge. He spent the day beside him selling copies of The Big Issue. Certainly doesn't look like the Archbishop there. And, just identifying with him, seeing what it's like to be in his shoes. And again, his friend felt understood and loved and supported by that action, and it spoke volumes to him. So I want to suggest that serving others is actually putting our love into action. It's a demonstration of love, and it makes an impact. Now, before I go on to talk about us being servants, I just want to be clear that we don't serve God to earn his love or to receive forgiveness or to get to heaven like in other religions. Actually, the gift of life, God's love for us, is just a gift to us. It's exactly that. It's not, we don't get it by earning. So God didn't create us because he wanted slaves or he wanted servants. He wanted sons and daughters and friends. So he wants us to enjoy a relationship with him and not be these invisible servants that are nameless and are not allowed to speak to him. You know, he even goes as far to command us to take a day off to rest from all our work, called the Sabbath. So why do we serve? We serve God and each other and in our workplaces and our communities as a response to the love that God has shown us. It's a way of expressing that love back to God as part of our worship. In Romans, Paul says, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, and this is your spiritual act of worship. So just like singing we're doing tonight, raising our hands, making a cup of tea for someone, if we do it with the right heart, can be part of our worship and love for God. And like the invisible servants in Downton Abbey, there are plenty of ways people serve around us that can be invisible, at home, in the workplace, and in the church. And actually, what happened during COVID is a way that we've actually had our eyes open to some of these invisible people, because now we've realised they're key workers, that they're essential. And in that way, it's been really good because it's opened our eyes to see the value of these people's jobs that are lowly paid and maybe before they were invisible to us. And perhaps we didn't notice and appreciate enough their acts of service. And the same goes on in the church. There are so many ways that people serve that are invisible. We've got the AV team behind us in the office doing the cameras and things tonight. That's just one example. The people that do the flowers have gone. There were some flowers this morning. The people that have been here this afternoon transforming this Ready for Holiday Club. Our church wardens that do so much work during the week. You wouldn't believe the things they get up to. But God sees it all. And we may feel that our service isn't noticed. But actually, it says in Matthew that God sees what is done in secret. And he will reward you in the open one day. While Jesus didn't just do acts of service, he was servant-hearted right to his core, right to his heart. And we read in Philippians 2 that it was his very nature. It says he did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant. And we see that through the rest of the New Testament, that it's the character of God himself to serve, which actually is quite an extraordinary idea and quite hard to comprehend. This parable that Jesus describes illustrates this really well. It's from Luke 12. Be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning, like servants waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will dress himself to serve, will have them recline at the table, and will come and wait on them. So just as it would be unimaginable for the Earl and Countess of Grantham to come back from their travels, and instead of being waited on by their servants and have every need met and be made comfortable, they go below stairs and the Countess puts on the apron and starts knocking something up for dinner. And the Earl puts on the servant's livery and goes upstairs, and they take all the servants upstairs to sit in the grand dining hall, and he waits on them. It's unthinkable, isn't it? And I find it hard to think of God the Master playing the role of a waiter or servant. I kind of imagine heaven as being a place where God is on his throne and we're all flat on our faces worshipping him. But actually, if God hasn't changed, and God doesn't change, he still is going to be wanting to pour out his love for us in service. And I wonder if actually, when we do get to meet our Creator and Maker, Jesus may be waiting there with a towel over his arm, a jug of water and a bowl, to kneel and wash our feet, to refresh us from our weary journeys home, and to touch us and to heal us and to feed us. Because God doesn't change, and he's going to go on all through all eternity loving us and expressing that generous, overthrowing love to us through acts of service. And we have a foretaste of that now by the work of the Holy Spirit washing us and healing us. So if Jesus was like a piece of rock and you snapped him in half, I think you'd see the word servant written all the way through. And the gospel state that he is the exact image of the Father. And so our Heavenly Father is servant-hearted too. And Scripture calls us to be imitators of Christ, which means us being servant-hearted as well, to the very core of who we are. Since my dad died, I've had some time to reflect on his influence in my life. And one thing I'm really grateful to my dad for is that he modeled being a servant and love in action. And we'd go to church early to set up. In those days, we met in schools and community centres. And we'd have to put out countless chairs and at the end of the service, put all the chairs away again and sweep the floors. And that's all been happening here today, so not much changes in church. We've been moving chairs again. And family holidays for many years consisted of us going on these Christian festivals where we would go with different churches and enjoy fellowship together, eating meals together, worshipping together and learning from the Bible. And there was always lots to be done. So our family, we didn't just go for the week. We would go for the setup week, which was called pre-week. And we would go and my dad would be busy helping set up the site. And as me and my brothers got older, we would also be on the teams and we'd do some catering or, guess what, go to marquees and put out chairs. And I think that, you know, I learned a lot from what I saw my parents doing. And I think we learn more from what we see than what words that they say. And so by Jesus doing this to his disciples, kneeling down and washing their feet, that was so unforgettable. Whereas if he'd just given them a little talk about serving, I don't think it would have had the same impact. I'm going to read a little bit about what Dietrich Bonhoeffer says about serving in his Christian classic, Life Together. And I was thinking on his, he's got a whole chapter on service. I thought he was going to list all these different acts of service we could do for each other. And I have to say, I was really surprised when the first act of service he describes was not practical work, but the act of listening. He writes, "The first service one owes to others in the community involves listening to them. Just as our love for God begins with listening to God's word, the beginning of love for other Christians is learning to listen to them." And he goes on to describe how you really listen to someone, giving them your attention, trying to understand them. And what a beautiful gift this is to offer someone else. He does go on to say that every member of the community should have a definite task of service, even the weakest members, because nobody is useless. We all have something to offer, and we need every one of us playing our part. So even if you don't have the physical strength to move chairs, perhaps we can all serve one another by listening. And you might want to be praying for opportunities to do that this week. If you'd like something that's a bit lighter reading for the summer holidays, there's an excellent book by Bob Goff, which I've left in my bag. I was going to wave at you, but never mind. It's called Love Does, and it's a New York Times bestseller. And basically, Bob Goff is just into doing acts of love, thank you, Derek, for people that he meets. And he gets up to all sorts of crazy things to show that people are loved. And there's some wonderful tear-jerking stories in there of how he spreads God's love around by these acts of service. So it's a very uplifting, inspiring read. And our mission statement here at St. Paul's is to show the light and love of Jesus to all. And it's through those acts of service that we make God's love known to our community. And so I'm so excited in August we've got the Make Lunch Project coming up when a team from churches across Letchworth are going to be in our hall here putting together cooking meals and doing crafts and things with the families that need a bit of help over the holidays and also going out to deliver recipe boxes and food boxes around the community. And Emma Vernon is very involved with this, so do speak to her if you're interested in finding out more. And it's going to be a wonderful way to hopefully impact people with the love of God this summer. And also we're going to be restarting things here, which is just great, things like Messy Church, Community Cafe, Who Let the Dads Out, and all the children's work and things, and so much more. There's going to be so many opportunities to make God's love known. So do prayerfully consider if you should be on one of these teams. So the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Let me close with a prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you that you are an incredible, generous God whose servant-hearted nature is to offer us love, affection, acceptance and approval, and the free gift of eternal life. And we offer you our hearts now to make them more like yours. Amen.